My name is Subi Hussein Alhaji. I come from northeastern part of Kenya. I work with an organization called Humankind Kenya, of which I'm the founder member and the executive director. And Kenya is in 8 regions, and we are one of the 8 regions, the 3rd largest region, and the occupants of that area is called its northeastern province is Somali community, but they are not from Somalia, they are Kenyan Somalis at the border of Somalia and Ethiopia. And Humankind Kenya is a non-governmental organization started by women, Somali women, literate Somali women, for a felt need. The culture discriminates so much against the girl child and the women, and we felt that as women, we wanted to do something for the girl child and the women, because they are discriminated so much against, and the discrimination is camouflaged in religion. So we decided to stand up for our rights, find out what are our rights in the context of religion and in the context of the laws of Kenya, so that we could stand up for the rights of women and the girl child. But as we were doing that, we realized that the Kenya government marginalized the region, and there was no proper service provision. It is underdeveloped. So to talk to people about advocacy, they need to have at least the basic needs. So we decided to go into service delivery, to building classrooms, constructing water pans so that women don't walk for a long distance, because when they walk for a long distance, they get raped. They walk sometimes 100 kilometers to get just 20 liters of water. And on the way, they risk their life and they get raped. So we decided to respond to those needs. So we decided doing water pans, shallow wells, boreholes. And then we realized also the health service is very poor. So we decided to respond also to the health sector by creating awareness on their reproductive rights, because women in my region can give birth to 11 children with no proper education, with no proper service, and it's difficult to raise 11 children with no food. And when it comes to family planning, the religious leaders misinterpret the religion so that they obstruct the women from using family planning. So we decided to come into so that we can educate them that Islam is flexible, and it does not stop them from family planning, so that we teach them their reproductive rights in relation to the religion and in relation to the Kenyan laws. And then education, we decided the only tool to empower women was education. So we started sponsoring girls for education. We started building classrooms for girls so that girls can get the service close to home, so that they don't walk long distance and they don't get raped on the way or abused. So Humankind works in sectoral basis besides the advocacy. We are in education, in health, water and sanitation, food security, and then advocacy. And in advocacy, we are so much based, focused on human rights and women rights issue. And we are trying to educate women on both the Islamic rights and the Kenya law rights, and then the international convention and international law, so that they know what their government has assented to or signed, so that they can hold the government responsible. Yes, I had one time I saw some documents of women living under Muslim law in during the Commission on the Status of Women meeting in New York, but I didn't know the address, I didn't know where to get the organization. But recently I came to London, and I came to do, I was one of the panelists in screening of African Rising film on FGM. Unfortunately, there was a lady from Gambia who is a board member of Women Living Under Muslim Law, and she was kind enough to explain to me what Women Living Under Muslim Law, the organization, is actually doing and what it's focused on. And I really pleaded with her, please take me to the organization, whatever it costs, wherever it is, now that I was in London. And she was kind enough and she brought me to this office, and that's how I was given the appointment for today to be interviewed. The kind of tools that I need to educate the women is translation of what Islam says about certain issues. And I think women living under Muslim law has done a lot of work in terms of that, and they have a lot of books and publications, and that can help me as training tool for the women to educate them on what their rights are and what Islam says and what, you know, they can use as women, the perspective of religion in relation to women's rights. So I think the publications can help me a lot, not only to educate the women, but to educate myself, so that I am better, I have better skills to go about training the women and educating them on their rights. There are different kinds of people who are actually misrepresenting the religion and misinterpreting and giving a lot of misconception. And these people call themselves their religious leaders, but sometimes they understand very little about Islam. So to show that they have some kind of, they are custodians of certain power, they have to cheat the women to tell them that Islam said this when it's the contrary. So it's religious, people who are actually pretending to be religious leaders or are religious leaders and are deliberately misleading women are the kind of people who are giving us misinformation. For example, if I tell you female genital mutilation, it's very clear in Islam that there's no female genital mutilation for women. But there are religious leaders who are telling us it is there. So, and you know, on the grassroots where I come from, with the community, the religious leaders command a lot of respect because they see these are the people who are actually giving out the word of God. So anything they say, they believe. So it's for me, someone like me, to stand up for the rights of those women and tell them, you know, things are being misinterpreted. They should learn the Quran themselves so that they can understand what their rights are. The province, 99% of the people living in Northeastern are Muslim, but we are not in Islamic state. We are in a state that is not governed by Islamic Sharia. The Kenyan law is that what governs the people of Kenya, and we have to abide by that law. But the Kenyan law allows us a window of opportunity in terms of personal religion, like marriage, like inheritance, like, you know, divorce. So it gives us a window of opportunity, especially in relation to marriage. It allows us, the Curtis Code is in the Constitution, so that Muslim women have their rights based on their religion. The kind of resistance we face within the women themselves is that, you know, when you have been taught things every day for a long time of your life, it becomes a deep-rooted culture in your life. So when they're being taught, like, for example, women are supposed to be at home, they are not supposed to work, they are not supposed to be educated, they are supposed to go under FGM, they are supposed to be beaten and accept beating by men, and that's the culture. And they believe in it so much that when you try to educate them, they think that you are convinced by the or influenced by the Western world, and you are not representing them. So what we do is we use other religious leaders who are educated both on the context of the secular and Islamic education, so that they can help us to make them understand, so that they can listen to us too. The kind of support we call upon from the government is especially in terms of policy and laws, to legislate the new laws, especially like the Children Act. We were so much involved in it. Even we have a school for girls where we are protecting them from female genital mutilation and other gender violence. And those children took part in the formulation of that policy and pushing for its formulation and legislation. So it kind of influenced the policymaker to enact that law for children. And there's also a policy for affirmative action for women. We were involved as womankind, representation for women to be increased. And the current constitution, we are in a crisis of constitutional making. And the current constitution has a lot of gains for women and women's rights. And Womankind Kenya has been in the forefront to ask the government to include women And if we cannot get 50-50, we should get one diet principle, which is internationally accepted. So the kind, but they don't give us funding. But when we try to fight for our rights and ask for laws to be enacted, it takes time. But sometimes when we push so hard, we demonstrate, we use any kind of strategy, they listen. The problem with the laws and the policy formulated by the government is they lack enforcement. Enforcement is a big problem because of the patriarchal system. It is men who are in the enforcement section, and they don't enforce this law. So we have still to push for enforcement. We have to articulate our issues and say they must be enforced. So, and then in the process, we endanger our lives. Some of us get threatened. For me, I have been threatened several times that I'm misrepresenting the community, I'm misrepresenting Islam, and I am against the government. My organization was almost deregistered one time. In fact, twice. We have received international support because ActionAid International has been supporting my organization for the last 16 years. The funds we're using to build the classrooms, water, and everything, ActionAid has been helping us in terms of even advocacy. They've trained us several times on advocacy. And also, Equality Now has been supporting us and giving us some funds to advocate against female genital mutilation. And then they have been also supporting us to come to the CSW to learn more about the international protocols. And that's where I learned about CEDAW, and I have learned that my government has assented and signed it, but it's not enforcing it. So I'm using it as a tool, actually, to educate women on their rights and, you know, to show them that the international community has passed at the UN, their government is a member state of the United Nations, and they should hold them responsible. So we're using the tool for advocacy, and we're using the tool to ask for enforcement also, and we do it with the help of other women movement in Kenya. I've been involved in the shadow report on CEDAW through FEMNET, which I'm a member of FEMNET. My organization is a member of FEMNET. And through that network, we've been collecting information and writing a shadow report through that group. And I think we've been presenting it to the CSW. Yeah. What I'm looking for from other international organizations, especially women organizations, because it's women who understand women problems. My organization needs material to educate the community. They need the expertise of other women who have done a lot of research, because we don't have even research department, and because it's a small organization that was just created for a felt need. So we will need also research information that we can use to educate the women. We also need funding. We also need capacity building, because we need the capacity to articulate our issues. Yeah. If I come back to your question of asking me the kind of workshops we do on FGM, who participates in those workshops, those workshops, we use them, we target different stakeholders. We target the religious leaders, to those who are misinterpreting the religion, so that we show them that we understand the religion and they stop misinforming the community. We target the youth so that we give them the right information so that they don't get misled by those who are misleading them. We target the women also so that we give them the right education and the right information on the rights to reproductive rights. And we also target young girls who are supposed to be tomorrow's mother, so that they protect their daughters. We also educate girls in schools on FGM, so that they protect themselves and they say no to FGM. We also target the young boys in schools. We have boys clubs in schools, and so that we educate them on gender violence, so that they can stand up for the right of their sisters. So there are different stakeholders. Sometimes we do it separately for different group. Sometimes we bring them together so that they learn from one another and they share experiences. So, and then we also have specific workshops for the law enforcement officers to show them exactly what they are supposed to do and exactly what the law says. Because some of them don't even understand what the law says. So we bring them together and we use some lawyers, some expertise, to make them understand what the law says and what they are supposed to do. And also what Islam, the Islamic perspective and the human rights perspective, so that they can understand better. So we target different groups. Providing legal aid to men who are in need, we've been doing it. But we depend so much a lot of other women. For example, FIDA, Federation of Women Lawyers in Kenya. And sometimes it becomes very difficult to get that legal expert because it's costly to travel to where I live. And sometimes we had delegated, but we try our best in partnership with the FIDA and other teams. Sometimes we hire lawyers if our partners give us the funding, and we do that. And then we also trained paralegals to support the women in legal education and legal representation. But we are doing all these things at minimal, because we can't reach the whole northeastern province. We are doing it in small areas, and we need to reach out to the whole of northeastern, which is the third largest region in Kenya. So we need a lot of support to replicate what we are doing in other parts of northeastern province, and even in other parts of pastoralist community where they don't have organizations. We're actually not working with Muslim women because we didn't have any connection with Muslim women. And for this Middle East, we are convinced as women in Kenya, or Muslim women in northeastern province, that the Saudi Arabia are so close and they are not friendly to women organizations, especially because the source of misinformation sometimes comes from them. So we have never had some network there, and we didn't have someone to connect us to women organizations who have been doing networks. So we don't actually have any connection to the Middle East. The only friends we have is in other parts of the world. South Africa, we do.
Okay.
We do, especially through FemNet.
Okay.
Yeah, I meet women organizations through FemNet, and that's how I get contact, and I ask them to send me their materials, and sometimes, because they are also grappling with the issue of funding, but sometimes they give me a lot of material. For example, ICETU's organization has given me a lot of materials I'm using for FGM campaign.